Well, good to be in the house of the Lord again tonight, isn't it? Good to feel God's presence here among us, the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm glad for the Spirit of Revival. It's been here every night. God hasn't let us down this week, has He? He's been here helping and reaching out and touching us and lifting us up above the shadows. And I thought of a verse of Scripture here during this service. My mind went back to Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 13. God was speaking, and He said these words. He said, "The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never," I feel like that's a key word, "never, never, never go out." Amen. How many came to keep the fire burning tonight? Praise God. I feel like that's the job of the church in this last day. And certainly we got a lot of jobs to do. We got to win the lost and preach the gospel and hold the standard up. But I believe one of our jobs is we got to maintain the move of God in our midst. Amen. We can't get cold now. We got to protect that Pentecostal blessing that God has given us. And I don't know about you, but I want to do my part tonight. I want to keep the fire burning. Amen. Keep the move of God. And anybody here ever read that book, Pilgrim's Progress? Anybody at all? I see a few hands. That's a great book. You ought to read it sometime. If you get a chance, John Bunyan wrote that book, of course. And he wrote it as an allegory or a type of what the Christian life is like. And I've been reading that book again lately. I read it a long time ago. But in that book, if you're not real familiar with it, there's a traveler, a pilgrim, that goes by the name of Christian. And he's on a journey trying to get to a place called the Celestial City. And really, that's a type of all of us that's saved tonight. Amen? How many know we're on a journey as well? We're going somewhere. We're looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And in that story, here's what came to my mind. In that story, Christian in the journey came to a place. There was a large hole in the wall, and he stood there kind of warming by the fire. That'd be a good thing to do tonight, kind of beholding the fire. And as he stood there, Brother Markham, another man approached. And this man was representing an opponent of the gospel. This man had buckets of water in his hand. And Christian watched him, and that man began to dump those buckets of water on the fire. He was attacking the fire, trying to put it out. But much to Christian's surprise, that fire kept on burning. Amen. It wouldn't go out. It kept blazing. It wouldn't die. And Christian kind of was perplexed. How can this be? He couldn't understand it. But you remember what the secret was? Bunyan wrote, and he said, unbeknownst to anybody else, on the other side of that wall, there was another man. And this man had buckets of oil in his hand. Amen. And therefore, every time that one man dumped a bucket of water on the fire, that other man countered and he dumped a bucket of oil on the fire, and it kept right on burning. It would not go out. Well, how many know tonight, that's the way it is when you get in the presence of the Lord. That's why we need, you know why we need revival? There's probably a lot of reasons why we need it, but I'll tell you one reason. As soon as we walk out these doors tonight, I know we've been having service every night, but as soon as it's over, the devil's going to be waiting with buckets of water. Amen. You ever notice how that happens? You have a good service, and you walk out the door, and there's the devil with the water of worldliness. He's got the water of doubt and unbelief and trouble and trial and heartache and wants to kill the fire. But I'm glad we can get in a service like this tonight. And I feel like the psalmist said it well. He said, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Amen. How many like God to pour that anointing oil of heaven out on us tonight? One more time. How many came looking for that in this service? I feel like if we can get God to do that, the fire will keep on burning. Amen. The fire will never go out. I'm encouraged tonight. I know the devil's got buckets of water, but God's got buckets of oil. Amen. And my prayer is this: Lord, pour it on us. Lord, I didn't come out here just to waste a Friday night. Lord, pour it on us that we can burn for You. Amen. I feel Him here tonight. We just got to reach out, and He's reaching down. Praise God. Praise God. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. If you have your Bibles, let's get right in the Word of the Lord tonight. Genesis chapter 22. That's where I feel like God's leading us. Been preaching about revival, the Holy Ghost, getting victory over the enemy. And I might preach a little different tonight. I felt like God laid this on my heart. But I believe that really what I want to try to preach about, I believe this is what we need to continue in revival. So you get in here with me and help me tonight. Good to see everybody here. Thank you for your giving and the offering and being here every night. The home folks, good to see the visitors, all the great preachers that are here tonight. I'm the least among them, but we're glad you're here. And we just want the Lord to help us. Genesis chapter 22. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Genesis 22 and verse 1. The Bible reads like this. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Another word for tempt there is test in the Hebrew. God did test Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, and I like this, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Let me read just a few more verses. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Amen. Praise God. Great scripture tonight, isn't it? Precious scripture, really prophetic of things that God was going to do. But I want to draw our attention back to verse 13 tonight. One verse, verse number 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. What did Abraham see? What did Abraham get a view of that day? Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and I believe we can say tonight he saw a type of Calvary. Amen. Abraham saw really a preview of a coming attraction. Abraham saw what everybody who was going to live in the New Testament at Calvary was going to see. He looked and he saw a ram caught in the thicket, ready to die in the stead of his son. And tonight, isn't that what we see when we look at Calvary? We see the Lamb of God, ready, willing, and able to die so nobody here has to. Amen. Abraham looked up there and he saw that day. And I don't know about you, but I think what Abraham saw changed his life forever. Amen. If you read the Bible, I believe it bears record of that. Abraham saw something up there on the mountain that stirred him up, and he walked down a different man. He never got over what he saw. And you know, tonight, I'll tell you how I feel. I've been to the mountain by faith. I've been to Calvary, and I've seen some things that I've never got over. Amen. Some people wonder about us Pentecostals. They wonder why we shout, why we get emotional and excited. They don't understand why we want to come to church on a Friday night. Who in their right mind would do that? I'll tell you why we're here. We saw something on a mountain that stirred our heart and changed us and made us love God. Amen. Abraham saw some things, and I believe he lived the rest of his life in
in view of what happened on that mountain. I just tell you how I feel about it. I got a feeling Abraham, when he walked by Moriah, he wasn't embarrassed. He didn't care who was around him. He said, Isaac, remember what happened up there. Amen. Remember what God did for us up there on that mountain. Abraham lived in view of that event. And so with the Lord helping me tonight, I want to preach very simply on living in view of the cross. Amen. Living in view of the cross. Because I feel like tonight, that's the remedy for backsliding. That's the remedy for getting cold and carnal. It seems like people are worried in this hour. There's a dilemma like never before. People are wondering, why are so many backsliding? Why are so many cold on God? Why are so many casual in their worship, compromising, getting carnal? I'll tell you what we need. We need a revival where we get back at the foot of the cross and start living in view of what Jesus has done for us. Amen. What kind of revival would we have if we realize how precious He is, how much He did for you and I? Amen. Are you living in view of the cross tonight? Amen. Raise your hands this way one more time if you don't mind. Let's pray that God would draw us nearer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the chance to be here tonight. Thank You for Your word, God. I pray tonight that You'll make the cross real to us. I thank You for the Holy Ghost. I thank You, Lord, for shouting. I thank You for all these other things. But God, the cross is still number one. And I pray tonight that You'll help us cling to it in this hour. Bring us to an altar and help us in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. And amen. I read a story in history one time. History said that on May the 29th, 1953, at about 11:30 a.m., a man by the name of Sir Edmund Hillary hoisted a British flag on top of Mount Everest. And at that moment, he became the first man to climb to what was then known as the top of the world. That's what they called Mount Everest back in 1953, the top of the world. And he wrote later, he planted that British flag, and he wrote a book about it later. I had to read a little bit of it in high school. And he said that moment right there was the culmination of many long months of training and preparation. He said, I encountered many dangers in that mountain climb. He wrote about some of them. He said, one time I had to crawl across a solid sheet of ice to get to the top. He said, I knew if I fell, I would have plunged to my death. He said, I had to watch out for crevices in the side of that mountain. They were so deep, if I'd have fallen in them, nobody had probably ever found my remains to this day. He said, I had to watch out for boulders and rocks that were falling. There were dangers everywhere. But he said it was worth it all when I made it to the top of the mountain. Amen. And he got up there and he planted that British flag. And history said the next day the headlines started appearing in the papers all over the world. And the headlines were reading something like this: Sir Edmund Hillary has conquered the world's greatest mountain. Amen. Sir Edmund Hillary is the world's greatest mountain climber. And they say if you were living around the summer of 1953, that was the talk of the time. That was the news of the hour. Everybody was applauding that man. He's the world's greatest mountain climber. Well, I want to preach about another mountain tonight. And I got to be honest with you. I beg to differ with that headline. Amen. I beg to differ with that account right there. Yes, that was great. I've never done anything like it. I'm sure that's a noteworthy. It'd be something to be the first man to accomplish that. But can I tell you tonight, long before Edmund Hillary was ever around, long before he was ever born, there was a majestic mountain climber by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'll tell you how I feel about it tonight. Jesus climbed the world's greatest mountain. Jesus did what nobody had ever been able to do before. He didn't just climb a mountain, but he got up there and he paid the bill for the sins of all the world. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Jesus paid the bill on that old rugged hill. We owed a debt that we could not pay. He paid a debt that He did not owe. That's why we're here tonight. He paid it all. And tonight, here we are, and that banner still waves. Amen. Amen. I don't know what happened to that British flag on Mount Everest. I doubt it's still there, Brother Markham. I'd say time and the elements and the weather probably faded it and tore it up. But here we are tonight, and 2,000 years later, the banner at Calvary still waves. You know what it's letting us know? You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to die lost. You don't have to be bound by the devil. Aren't you glad there's a mountain climber? And his name is Jesus. That's what I want to preach about tonight. My hero. It's not some sports star. It's not some bingo or red. Amen. I'll tell you who my hero is. This mountain climber. The Son of the living God. Would you behold him? Would you get another look at him? Would you fall in love with him? I believe we can have revival if we'll start living in view of the cross. Amen. I wonder what our worship would be like if we were living in view of the cross. Amen. I just inspect my soul. How would I sing if I was living in view of the cross? How would we preach? How would we pray at the altar? I find myself, I'm not throwing off on anybody tonight. We've been having a good revival and you've been praying. But you know what I've done sometimes? I found myself get down at the altar. 5 minutes later, I'm up. Amen. I'm thinking about getting home. What I got to do tomorrow. All I gave Jesus was 5 minutes. I wonder what kind of altar call we'd have if we were looking at what he endured. If we consider him that endured the cross, despising the shame. I'll tell you what the remedy is. How are we going to keep from backsliding? How are we going to keep from losing the fire? We got to have a revival at the foot of Calvary. Are you living in view of the cross tonight? Amen. How many think it's still precious? How many think it's still real? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to look at this life that's lived at the foot of the cross tonight. In our text, Genesis chapter 22, another mountain rears its head. This time it's not Everest, it's Mount Moriah. Amen. Two great mountaineers are getting ready to climb higher than anybody spiritually had ever been before them. Abraham and Isaac. I want to look at these men tonight. Abraham was the friend of God, right? The Bible said, wouldn't that be a great title to have, the friend of God? Abraham was a man that talked with God as a man talked with a friend. God said, you're the father of the faithful. But you remember Abraham had a problem, Brother Tommy. He had a dilemma. Him and his wife had no children. Amen. They had no offspring. But God comes to Abraham and he gives him a promise. Abraham, your seed is going to be as numerous as the sand by the seashore. Can you imagine that? Now that might be easy to swallow if you're 25 and your wife's 23 and you got 10 kids already. You might see where that's going to happen. But when you're 100 years old and your wife's 90 and they don't even have one child, they've never been able to have one son, that's a hard promise to get a hold of, isn't it? That's a hard promise to wrap your arms around. But you know what I like about Abraham? He believed God for the impossible. Amen. Amen. He was dead in his body, but he believed the word of God. I would like to be like that tonight, wouldn't you? If God said we can have revival, amen, stand on the word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. Hallelujah. Abraham believed God. And sure enough, God held up his end of the bargain. God gives him a son, Isaac, a promise, a miracle. But isn't it something how God works sometimes? God turned right around, Brother Brian. And in Genesis 22 and verse 1, he said, take now thy son. God, that promise you gave? Yeah. Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Take him up to the land of Moriah on the mountain and offer him there as a burnt offering. Amen. That'd be hard to obey, wouldn't it? Come on here tonight. That'd be hard to go. Sometimes I have a problem obeying God in small areas. Amen. Have you ever had God say, won't you run the aisles right now? And we say, Lord, is that really you? Amen. Amen. Won't you stand up and testify? Are you sure, God? We have a problem sometimes obeying God in those areas. What would we do if God said, take your son? Amen. Your only son. That had to be hard to obey, didn't it? Amen. That's mysterious. Just break that verse down. I looked at that today. If you want to hear how hard this is, take now thy son. Well, that's bad. Amen. Take now, that's personal. Take now thy son, thine only son. That's even worse, isn't it? Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. That's as hard as it gets. Amen. You know, you remember what Isaac meant? Isaac meant laughter, right? You know what God was saying in essence? Abraham, take the laughter of your life. Take that thing that put a smile on your face. That thing that put a skip in Sarah's step. Take that thing you love more than anything. I want to test you. How much do you love me? Amen. I want you to lay that thing on the altar. You know what God's after tonight? He wants our Isaac. Amen. That thing that we say, God, I'll give you anything else, but don't ask for that. Amen. That's what God wants to see if you're willing to give him. Isn't it something, Brother Tommy? Abraham, the Bible said he's a rich man. He had land and cattle. He had money. He had all kinds of things. But God didn't say, I want your cattle. He can replace that. Amen. He didn't say, give me an acre. He's got a bunch of them. Amen. He said, I want that thing that you cannot replace. You only got one Isaac. I'm just testing you. I want to see how much you love me. You know what? Tonight, God wants that one area, that hidden area of our heart. God, I gave you this, but you can't have this. You know when revival is? When we make ourselves, amen, laid down on the altar, lock, stock, and barrel, and we say, you can have it all. I surrender all, every area of my life. God wants our Isaac tonight. How many love him enough to give it to him? Amen. God may not make you give it up, but he wants to see if you love him enough too. Amen. He didn't make Isaac die, but he wanted to see if he loved him enough to lay him down. And Abraham passes the test. You know, I think it's beautiful. I got hurry tonight, but there's a little phrase in there that's easy to pass over. The Bible said Abraham rose up early in the morning. Amen. Isn't that great? Before the devil could talk him out of it. Before the flesh can think of another way. Amen. Or say, I didn't really hear God. Amen. He got up early and he said, I'm going to the mountain. We're going to obey God. I'll tell you what would be the best thing. If we'd have a church full of Abrahams. When the Lord gets ready, we got to move. Amen. The earlier the better. And Abraham grabs his boy and here they go up the mountain. I want you to watch them tonight. I want you to see this mountain climb. Here they go up the mountain. The Father and the Son. The Bible said in our reading on the way up that mountain, the Bible said Abraham looked at Isaac looked at the father, and he said, Father, he saw two things in his hand. He saw the knife and the wood. Amen. And Abraham quizzed his dad, and he said, Dad, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Amen. Isn't that a great question right there? Where is the lamb? Where's the lamb at? If you'll think about it tonight, that question sums up the sentiments of all the Old Testament saints, doesn't it? Amen. All through the Old Testament. You know what they were asking every day when they went down to the temple and laid a bull on the altar? In their heart they were asking, where is that lamb? Amen. Where's he at? We're searching. Where's that one that can take my sin away? Where's that Messiah? Where's that Son of God? Where is the lamb? I'm glad I found him one night. Aren't you? I come to tell you, the search is over. There's a Lamb of God. John saw him walking by the Jordan River. And you know what he said? Behold the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. Aren't you glad you found him one night on the mountaintop at the foot of the cross? We got to have a revival where we fall in love with him again. Amen. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold what Lamb? Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away. Hallelujah. What did he come to take away? You know, there's a fallacy. The devil gets especially young people. I remember when I was young. You know what the devil tells you? Hey man, if you get saved, you're going to have to give up a whole bunch of stuff. Amen. If you live holiness, look what you're going to miss out on. No parties. Amen. No fun. Give up your friends. Amen. God's going to take a lot away from you. Wait a minute. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away. What did he come to take away? Did he come to rob us of our joy? So we got to sit here depressed tonight? No. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's why we ought to love him. I don't know about you. I was glad to get rid of that sin. Amen. You know where we were? We were like Isaac, laid out. That knife of judgment was over our head, ready to plunge into us. But the Lamb of God took it out of the way. And now we're free. We're redeemed. How could you backslide? How could you give up on Him? How could you get discouraged enough to walk away from Him? We got to start living in view of the cross. Can you say amen tonight? The cry is not, where is the Lamb? The cry is, behold the Lamb. Hey man, you notice there seem like there's three cries in the Bible centered around the Lamb. The cry of the Old Testament, where is the Lamb? The cry of the New Testament Gospels, behold the Lamb. But I'm glad there's another cry. Amen. You go all the way to Revelation. You know what they're doing in glory? Revelation 5 and verse 9. The blood washed around that throne. And they sung a new song saying, worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb. You know what I'd like to see us do tonight? We ought to change your cry on this Friday night. Maybe you came in here searching, looking for an answer, wondering where God is. You can leave here tonight not saying, where is the Lamb? If you'll behold Him, you can leave here saying, He's worthy. He set me free. He gave me the power. He gave me victory. Worthy is the Lamb of God. How many believe He's worthy tonight? Won't we raise our hands and give Him the praise? God, take us to Calvary. Give us revival at the foot of the cross tonight. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe we ought to tune up for heaven a little bit. Hallelujah. I know some folks like it quiet. Come on, go to heaven with us. There's going to be 30 minutes of silence. Amen. But after that, we're going to have church. Amen. Amen. After that, amen, everything's off. Amen. Those that like it quiet, it's going to be ringing. It's going to be shouting. It's going to be Hosanna. It's going to be Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I don't want to be out of practice when I get there. I don't want to be, amen, not used to it. I'll tell you what we ought to do tonight. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Live in view of the cross. He's worthy of our all. Can you say amen? Amen. Here goes Abraham and Isaac up the mountain. Amen. Abraham said, you want to know where he is? God's going to provide himself a lamb. And here they go up the mountain. But I want you to see them real quick as they climb. This isn't just a good story. This isn't just some old story I learned in Sunday school. I want us to understand tonight, I believe we realize this is a preview of a coming attraction. Amen. Amen. This is a preview of what Christ would do. That's what I like to call this chapter, Genesis 22. It's a preview of what Christ would do. Amen. You know what this was? Look closely. The shadow of the cross is falling over Mount Moriah. Amen. You know what this was, Brother Gabriel? It's a dress rehearsal for Calvary. Anybody ever been in a play? Anybody at all in a school play, Christmas play, church play? You know what we do? Before you put on the final performance, most people, they usually have a practice, right? I mean, that's about a safe thing to do. Let's try to practice it out. And usually the last thing we do, I mean, if we really want to be good, we have a dress rehearsal, right? It's not the real thing, but everybody gets there, gets their costume on, get in your place, let's act like it's the real night. Let's say our lines, no goofing off. Let's do it like we really would. You know what this chapter is? God had a dress rehearsal for Calvary. Amen. You know what it seemed like? He said, Abraham, you've been faithful. You're my friend. You've been sticking with me. And I know, Abraham, you're not going to be here in the New Testament. You're not going to know what they're talking about. If I don't show you, you won't know what they sing at Linwood when they say, at the cross, where I first saw the light. You won't know what it's all about. If I don't show you something, you won't know what they meant when they say, amen, when they sing those hymns. But you know what God said? I'm going to give you a preview. Amen. I'm going to give you a little taste of what they're going to shout about. I'm going to give you a little glimpse of what's going to make them rejoice at the old rugged cross. Hallelujah. And you know what I like about it? Jesus said this. Brother Austin, Jesus talking about Abraham. John 8 and 56. And this convicts my heart. Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Amen. That man got a glimpse. He didn't see the whole picture. Amen. Oh, he got a little taste. And he walked down that mountain saying, hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to live different. I'm a changed man. Now, I ask you tonight, if a man got a preview and it made him shout, what should it do to us tonight? We don't got a preview. We got the big picture. I got the whole Bible. I got the four gospels. I've been saved by the blood. I've been to Calvary. I can say I've seen the Lord. I tell you, if it changed a man when he saw it way back here, what should it do to us when we're living right up here, hanging on, touched by him? I tell you what it ought to do. It ought to make us praise him. It ought to make us love him. It ought to make us have revival. Are you living in view of the cross tonight? How many believe he's precious? Hallelujah. Amen. Can I preach just a few more minutes? I want you to notice a couple things real quick. Amen. Notice, you know what I see up here on Moriah? I see Calvary. Amen. I see the place of the cross. The place of the cross. Did you notice those words used over and over and over in this chapter? I saw this today and it got a hold of me. The place. The place. Genesis 22, verse 3, the place. Verse 4, verse 9, verse 14, that place. That place. What place? Mount Moriah. Amen. God had a plan for that place. God had Moriah on his mind. Amen. You know what Moriah means? It means chosen of God, foreseen of God. God always had a plan, Brother Manning, for a place called Mount Moriah. And you know, even so, God always had a plan for Calvary. Amen. I heard a preacher preaching on the radio. I'm not very smart. I'm not belittling him. But I heard a man preaching. I was driving through Kentucky, way down in eastern Kentucky, and this man was preaching on the radio. You got to be careful, right, when you're listening to the radio preacher. Amen. But this man was preaching, and you got to try anybody. You got to search the scripture. And this man said this. He said, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and God said, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Amen. What are we going to do now? How are we going to get out of this mess? And God sat down with all his angels and Jesus, and he drew up a plan. Jesus, you're going to have to die. That's the only way out. Amen. That's how he preached it. And he's preaching pretty good till he got there. Amen. But can I tell you, that's not true at all. You know what the Bible said? Jesus was a lamb slain from the very foundation of the world. Before there was a world. Brother Todd Newcomb, before there was Todd Newcomb, or Jerry Pascarella, or Adam, or sin, or trouble, God had a plan. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. On a Friday night, December the 1st, somebody's going to come in. They're going to be loaded down. Maybe they sinned and failed that day. And the devil's telling them there's no hope. You're lost. You can't get in. God said, I'm going to have a place where the blood is flowing and hope is restored and healing is by the stripes. Aren't you glad there's a place called Calvary tonight? Amen. How many's glad for that place of pardon? Not only is it a place of pardon, it's a place of pain. Amen? Everybody knows what Jesus went through at Calvary. And here's what I mean by that. We don't understand. We can't relate. But it's evident in the Bible, Brother Burgess. You read the Gospels, we see what Jesus went through. You read Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, we see what Jesus suffered. But you ever notice, we know the Son suffered. What did God go through, the Father, at Calvary? Amen? Don't you think the Father suffered? If you want to get a picture, if you want to see what Jesus suffered, read the Gospel. Amen? But if you want to see Calvary through a Father's eyes, you've got to climb up Mount Moriah and watch Abraham. Amen? We can't see into heaven and see God, but I look at Abraham. Don't you think it ripped that father's heart out when he knew what he's going to have to do to his own boy? Amen? We got any fathers here tonight? Can you imagine a burnt offering? Not just crucify him, burn the whole body up. You're not going to have nothing left to bury, even Abraham. He's going to be a charred body. Huh? Don't you think that ripped his heart out when he knew what he had to do? And I say tonight, don't you think it ripped the heart of God out when he knew I got to turn my back on my own son? I got to see him crucified. Yes, it did. Why did he go through it? Why did Jesus carry it out? I'll tell you why. Because he loved us. Because he was thinking about you. He wanted to see us live in the victory and have the power. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, life. Why would somebody backslide? That's what's on my heart. I got to say it again. Why would somebody leave when they see all of this? I'll tell you what I do. We get weary in well-doing, don't we? Brother Hager quoted it. It's bad when you get weary of well-doing, but we all get weary in well-doing. Amen. There's been times when I've said, Lord, it'd be easier just to live at home. Amen. To travel. It'd be easier to get a house with a nice backyard and evangelize. Amen. But you know what I've done? I go back to Calvary. And when I look at Him, amen, when I consider Him, something comes up in me. Some of you feel like quitting every once in a while. You get discouraged. Yeah, it's human. But when we go back here and we look at Him, you know what I feel like saying? I love Him too much to fail Him now. I love Him too much to break my vow. If He went up there, I can run on for Him. If He carried that cross, I can worship a little while longer. I can get in when I'm tired. I can press in when my body don't feel like it. When you don't, when you're on a cold Friday night, we can give Him some more glory. Why? He did so much for us. Amen. How many believe He deserves our all? I see the place of the cross. Amen. At Moriah, Sister Helton, Abraham looked at his servants. You boys stay back. You can't go where me and the son are going. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. We're going beyond a place mortal men can go. Amen. Mortal servants. I am the lad. Amen. Hey, you remember what Jesus did? He got to Gethsemane. He's got His disciples, His servants around Him. And He said something similar. Stay back, boys. Amen. You can't go here. And He went a little further. Amen. Woo! That's why I know He was God in the flesh. He went a little further. Amen. He couldn't man have went that far. He'd already came far enough, Brother Brian. He left heaven, came down to earth, an infinite God becomes an infant baby. Amen. Isn't that far enough to leave a throne and lay in a manger? I'd say that's far enough, wouldn't you? But He went a little further. Hallelujah. He goes all the way to Calvary. And Abraham, up on Mount Moriah, the Bible said He laid the wood on His son Isaac. Remember reading that? And you remember what God did at Calvary? He laid the cross on His own son. Amen. You say, no, He didn't. The soldier did it. The sinful man did it. You know what Isaiah said? Isaiah 53 and verse 6. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Amen. He didn't have to do it. He could have called 10,000 angels. But you know what He said? I'm going to give my church something to rally around. Amen. I'm going to give them. Wouldn't it be sad if we couldn't hang a cross up there? Wouldn't it be sad if that didn't mean anything to us? But oh, we got a rallying point tonight. When you're weary, when you're sinful, when you failed God, we got something to look to. Amen. Come on back home. Come on back. God has help. Revival at the foot of the cross tonight. Amen. I see the place of the cross. And let me leave you with this. I see the person of the cross. In Genesis 22, it's Isaac laying on an altar. But for us today, it's Jesus laying on a tree. Amen. Did you notice what the Bible said about Isaac? Amen. The Bible said in verse 9, Genesis 22 and verse 9, we gather from that verse that Abraham took three things with him up the mountain. He took a rope. The Bible never says those words, but the Bible said He bound him to the altar. Had to have something, right? A cord, a rope, something. He took a rope. He took a knife, and he took some wood. Amen. Three things he takes up the mountain. What's that rope for? For binding. What's that knife for? For bleeding. Amen. What's that wood for? For burning. Don't those three things right there represent the power of sin in a life? You know, tonight sin will bind a person. Amen. Sin wraps men up and they can't even get free, addicted. Sin will cause you to bleed. Amen. That demoniac was cutting himself, bleeding in the tombs. Sin will drain the life out of you. And you know what the worst part is? Sin will burn your soul in hell. It's got binding, bleeding, burning power. power. But you know why I love Jesus? He took it all so I didn't have to. Amen. He took my shame. He took my place. Isaac is a type of Christ, but he's just a type. Jesus is the fulfillment. Isn't it something? Isaac only took a part of it. He took the binding, but he never felt a knife. He never was burned. He got up. But Jesus is better than Isaac. He said, I'll take it all. Give me their burning. Give me their bleeding. Give me their binding. I'll take all the pain. That's why I love him tonight. You know why we're here? You know why we can shout? He took it all so we don't have to. Would you behold him? Would you love him one more time? Would you live in view of him? He took it all so you don't have to. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand over the house tonight. Come on, raise your hands if you will. Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Can we agree on that? Worthy is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. God, give my soul revival at the foot of the cross. I love the upper room, but you can never get to the upper room till you come to Calvary. Amen. I wonder today, has anybody ever backslid who was clinging to the old rugged cross? Amen. You know what? Sometimes, and I don't want to belittle anything anybody's went through, but I've heard people when they backslide, they make excuses. Well, somebody talked about me. Somebody hurt me. Somebody did me wrong. That's going to happen. Amen. Offenses are going to come in this life. People's going to hurt you. People's going to talk about you. But you know what? I feel like tonight, if we got to the core of every situation, amen, people use excuses. Humans, me or myself, we use excuses. But you know why people backslid? They stopped living in view of the cross. Amen. They got over here somewhere where they couldn't see it anymore. They forgot how much Jesus loved them. They forgot how much he did for them. But I tell you tonight, if you can get your eyes back on that right there, amen, something is going to burn again. A fire for him is going to rise again. Amen. Let's have revival at the foot of Calvary tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, Brother Allen, to the music. We're getting ready to pray. I see the place of the cross. I see the person of the cross. I see the provision of the cross. Amen. Aren't you glad there's a provision? Here's how that story ends. We're getting ready to pray. Abraham stands over Isaac with a knife. All he's waiting on is God's word. Death. Judgment. Amen. Destruction. But all of a sudden a voice spoke up. Abraham! Abraham! Get him up. Amen. This is only a preview. This isn't the final play. Amen. It's just a preview. Get him up. Get him up. Only one son's got to die. And you know what happened? Abraham, Isaac got up off that altar, walked away out from underneath the knife. And you know what happened? He walked away and a lamb died so he could live. Amen. Isn't that the story of the gospel? That's why this is a preview. You remember what happened? You know what God did that was so beautiful here all through this story? Isaac's a type of Christ on the way up the mountain, carrying the wood, being the son, the only son. He's a type of Christ. But in the middle of that rehearsal, God gives us a role reversal. Amen. In the middle of a dress rehearsal, God said, we're going to have a role reversal. Amen. You're no longer a type. Isaac, you're not going to be a type of Jesus anymore. You're going to be a type of the church. Amen. And you know what happened? He said, cut the play. Cut the dress rehearsal. Get him up. Amen. Let him free. Let him go. He's not going to feel anything. And he walks away from there, a type of me and you. You know what he walked away saying? A lamb died so I can live. Amen. I wonder how he went down that mountain. I got a feeling he wasn't dragging his heels. He wasn't with his head down. He was saying, thank you, Lamb. Thank you, Lamb. I'm glad you came for me. I say tonight, how should we live? How should we sing? We ought to sing saying, thank you, Jesus. Look what you did for me. You'll never get cold living in view of the cross. Amen. How about tonight? Let's fall in love with him again.